traveling music. In fact, we are going to travel right now. We're away to England and spend some time with a friend of mine whom I haven't seen in years, but every time I talk to him, it seems like he's sitting just across the room and we're chatting. We're talking about David Icke, of course. For all of you David Icke fans, as you know, his new book is out now. If you don't know, it is out, and I'm holding a copy of it right here. Infinite Love is the only truth. Everything else is illusion. Exposing the dream world we believe to be real. And it's about time. This is interesting because in some ways, David Icke's journey has gone through many stages. Always higher, always more visionary in the best sense of the word, and it's going to be interesting to hear him talk about the new book. I've thumbed through it and read portions of it, and it seems like David Icke is going to a new location in this cosmic world of ours, a better view, and he's making that available to all of us, a more comprehensive view, a more enlightened view, a more loving view. As the write-up for the book says, the cutting edge just moved. Welcome back, David. How have you been?
Very good, Jeff. Thanks. Yeah, it's been a very productive period the last few months, actually. So, yeah, good.
How long have you been working on this book before it went to press?
Well, not that long, really. I was back in September, and a friend of mine came to actually do some work on my youngest son, who's a footballer. He had damaged his ankle a bit, and so I hadn't seen this healer friend for a long time. And he came round. We were just chatting away as he's working on my boy, and we started talking about DNA, as you do.
Always, the first thing in my conversations.
He said he'd written a paper years before about DNA, and he did bring a copy round, you know. And when I was looking through it, it was like something smacked me on the head, and suddenly a whole area opened up, like you know, someone had opened the door.
This is a new space for you to explore and to synthesize and to present, isn't it?
It is, but what's been happening, Jeff, as you quite rightly pointed out, is that, you know, I started on a journey about 15 years ago, and I'm interested in what's going on, so I'll let the information take me where it needs to take me.
You always have, yeah?
Yeah, if you don't keep moving, then you can set yourself up in a holding pattern going round and round and round with the same stuff, which can be very productive in terms of letting people know what's happening at that level. But my question has always been, okay, I can see how this is controlled, but who controls this? And I want to go further and further out until I get to the source of where all this multidimensional manipulation is coming from. And what happened with the DNA is two things hit me when I read his paper, which was well ahead of its time. One was that only four codes, A, C, G, and T, are involved in the DNA, and everything is made up of sequences of those codes. I came across a quote in the San Francisco Chronicle about DNA, which summed it up. It said, DNA is a universal software code. From bacteria to humans, the basic instructions of life are written in the same language. And the other thing that hit me was that DNA is actually a crystalline receiver, transmitter of information. What I was looking at was the matrix and how we connect into it.
What is the? We got it. This connection is not good enough. I can hear you fine. I'm wondering if we should call you back and try to get a better circuit. Let's do that. Let me have go ahead and hang up, and I'm going to just talk for a minute or two, and we're going to call you right back and see if we can do better.
All right.
Okay, mate. All right, so go ahead and give him a ring back, and I just don't want to deal with that kind of a thing. The book, I'm going to read a little bit from the back cover. It's interesting because this is a different David Icke than many of you are used to. Quite simply, the cutting edge, as I mentioned, just moved. Never before has a book explained with such clarity why physical reality is merely an illusion that only exists in our brains. Fantastic, sure it is, but David Icke's information, presented in a way that everyone can understand, as he always does, is a life-changing exposure of both the illusion we believe to be real and the way this illusion is generated and manipulated to imprison us in a false reality. And boy, are we imprisoned in an ugly reality. Wow. You take a look at the top of Rents.com, feature stories up there. Florida cops, what they did to this 22-year-old woman in a routine traffic daylight stop. They blasted her with two 50,000-volt jolts from a taser because the woman simply didn't get out of the car when the cop told her to. She had done nothing wrong and said, why should I get out of the car? And so forth. You got to see this, and it'll make you sick in your stomach. We're in trouble, folks. In the book, David Icke explains how we live on a holographic internet. Now, that's a concept in and of itself that we're going to talk about. We live in a holographic internet, in that our brains are connected to a central computer that feeds us the same collective reality that we decode from waveforms and electrical signals into the holographic 3D world that we all think we see. All right, let's see how we do now, David.
Jeff?
It's a little bit the same, but a little better. Here, you know, I have a secret, a trick. Sometimes pull the receiver back from your mouth and speak more softly. Maybe if we under-modulate, it might work. Go ahead and say, hi,
okay.
Jeff, how you doing?
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Hey, there we go.
Okay.
Yeah, just keep that receiver well back, and I think we'll be okay.
All right, then.
Now, you made the point that DNA is composed of four primary components, and that's it. That's for all living species, I guess.
The difference in DNA between a house mouse and a human is fractional compared with the obvious vast difference in the physical manifestation of that. And what hit me was when I realized that DNA is actually a receiver transmitter. In fact, it's a brilliant one. I came across this an article on the internet about the antennae nature of DNA, and it said this: from the characteristic form of this giant molecule, a wound double helix, the DNA represents an ideal electromagnetic antennae. On one hand, it is elongated and thus a blade antennae, which can take very well electrical pulses. On the other hand, seen from above, it has the form of a ring and thus is a very good magnetic antenna.
Oh, interesting.
And one of the things that I've been asking, one of the big questions I've been asking, Jeff, over the recent times is I got to the point where I understood that we created our own reality by our beliefs and the way we observed the world. We saw the world differently and therefore created a different reality. But the question was, if we created our own reality, how come that when I look out the window, I can see the same cars going past as the next person next to me? All right, we may think differently about what we think of the cars, but we still see the cars. And when I was hit by this DNA information, which just opened my mind to so many things very quickly, I realized that what I'd hit upon was the way this reality works and how we experience it, not outside of ourselves where this world appears to be, but inside our own heads. And the simplest way I could symbolize it is we live in a holographic internet in which our DNA and quote brain, which I see as the central processing unit of the body computer, is taking frequencies and transforming them into holographic pictures. In the very same way that a television is taking frequency fields broadcast from the transmitters and turning them into pictures, we do it holographically, they do it in a flat picture way. And also true that if you look at the internet, the only place the internet, as we perceive the internet, words, colors, graphics, exists, is on the computer screen. Everywhere else, it is codes, it is mathematics, it is pulses.
Got it.
And that's the same with us. Our computer screen is in our heads. And once you start to realize that, you can realize, A, how we can start to transform our reality, and B, given what we've talked about over the years, how someone else can manipulate it on a mass scale.
Oh, and easily, too. All right. Stand by. We'll come right back with David Icke. His brand new book is out now. Infinite Love is the Only Truth. Everything Else is Illusion. And this is going to be fascinating. And we'll continue right after this. David, interesting. All right, so our minds are like receivers, but at the base of the receiving is not just a sensory set of receivers, I guess, but we receive all the way down to the DNA level, which, as you have articulated, is really a magnificent receiver. Works on two levels. So a car drives by, we look at a tree, we see a bird fly by. We all see essentially the same thing. Now, are we to assume that at some level, somehow, the things we are seeing, inanimate objects, as it were, are emitting energy at some level that we are picking up at some level through some means and uniformly, almost universally as a species, translating that energy into images, both sight and sound, sonic and auditory and visual, that we are hearing and experiencing?
Yeah, our five senses are frequency decoders. More and more, the research shows this. The brain works on a mathematical formula, which has become known as Fourier transforms. This was a Frenchman called Jean Fourier who invented this, and out of this invention came television. Which certainly they had the ability to broadcast pictures in frequency form, which the television could then decode back into pictures. And in a wonderful book from the early 90s called The Holographic Universe by Michael Tolbert, he says this about a guy called Cole Pribham, a neurophysiologist at Stanford University, who is basically saying the same thing. Pribham, he says, realized that the objective world does not exist, at least not in the way that we are accustomed to believe in. What is out there is a vast ocean of waves and frequencies, and reality looks concrete to us only because our brains are able to take this holographic blur and convert it into sticks and stones and other familiar objects that make up the world. In other words, the smoothness of a piece of fine china and the feel of beach sand beneath our feet are really just elaborate versions of the phantom limb syndrome. And we are getting this, what, if you like, collective reality, which we're decoding. But how we decode it in detail is fundamentally connected to our beliefs, because we can rearrange this movie we're picking up in terms of detail. This is why you can put two people in the same room, show them the same things, and what they conclude about it will be totally different. Even though they're seeing the same things, they're not seeing it in the same way.
We get different filters.
Yeah, they're filtering it through their beliefs. There's enormous amounts of research show that what you believe is real, you decode reality to fit what you believe.
And so, and just to take a quick jump down the road a bit, the bigger the lie, the more easy it is for the masses to believe. You keep repeating it often enough, and they start to accept it. Their filters change, and it's reality.
Yeah, I mean, I cannot symbolize it better than what's happening in the world to us collectively than a stage hypnotist and the Stooges on the stage.
Right.
What research has clearly shown is that when information enters the brain, it is edited, and it's edited on the basis of belief. A very simple example of this is if you put two people in a room and they have really major preconceived ideas about each other. I've seen television programs in which they've done it. It's staggeringly clear what's going on.
Yeah.
They get them to talk to each other, and they film it. And then they talk to them individually and ask what they'd said to the other person and what the other person said. And then they play the original tape back, and they're staggered because the way they received what was said and how they perceived it was said was totally different to what actually was said and how it was delivered. Because what was happening, the preconceived idea was editing what the receiver heard to fit the preconceived idea. We're doing this all the time. And so a stage hypnotist is putting a false belief into the mind of the stooge, the subject, that there's an elephant in the audience, that they're eating an apple when it's really a potato.
What is happening
is he is changing the way the brain decodes the electrical signals to turn it from a taste of a potato into the taste of an apple.
And there's a terrific effort underway being carried out by the top minds in this field, paid for by American tax dollars, British tax dollars, as it were, to actually program the audience to receive exactly what the majority of them want.
This is the very point. You know, it's interesting what I'm talking about in terms of reality, but there's a much more important reason why I am going down this direction, and it's to understand more about what I've been writing about all these years, which is about this global manipulation. Because in the corner of almost every living room in the world is the most effective hypnotist on planet Earth, television.
The most vicious weapon ever unleashed on humankind.
Because what is it doing? It is selling a false reality, a false belief, minute by minute by minute by minute. And if we accept that as reality, then we then start decoding information based on that reality.
Exactly.
And, you know, I tell a story in the book about actually, it was the writer of the Holographic Universe, Michael Talbot, who experienced a party which his father held where a stage hypnotist came along. And this stage hypnotist got this guy to believe that his daughter wasn't in the room. And his daughter was placed right in front of him. He was sitting down. So he's looking right in the belly of his daughter. And he was asked if he could see his daughter in the room. He couldn't. The hypnotist then went round the back of the daughter, put his hand in the small of the back, and said to this guy, his name was Tom, "I'm holding something, Tom. What am I holding?" And looking bemused, because it was obvious to him, he said, "You're holding a watch." He said, "Tom, there's an inscription on the watch. What is it?" He read the inscription. "That watch is the other side of his daughter. His daughter has simply been edited out of his decoding mechanism by the belief that she wasn't there, implanted by the hypnotist, and suddenly there's no daughter in the room." And that's what's happening on a mass scale to the mass consciousness every day.
That is. All right, right back with David Icke, just a couple minutes.
Heart disease continues to be the leading cause of death in America. Why? Haven't people heard about the positive effects of Cardivite? Cardivite drops and capsules were designed to improve your cardiovascular health and circulatory well-being. The all-natural ingredients in Cardivite begin immediately working to increase metabolism in your heart muscle tissue, mitigating heart rhythm abnormalities, and improving oxygen and blood flow in the heart. Right now, as a special for GCN listeners, you'll get a 4-month supply for only $99 plus shipping, a 30% savings off the regular price. This offer is only for a limited time, so call now 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite drops and capsules may help improve your circulation and cardiovascular health, but that's up to you. Take the first step with Cardivite. Call toll-free 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com for more information. Don't let heart disease beat you. Beat the odds and do your body right with Cardivite.
David Icke talking about his new book, Infinite Love is the Only Truth. Everything else is illusion. And we do live in a world of illusion. Edward L. Bernays, I've done a number of programs on him, called the father of spin, the father of propaganda, mind manipulation, also known as advertising, understood this at some level. I don't think he had David Icke's understanding of it, but he knew motivation, and he knew how to create within people's minds reflexes to various stimuli that their filters would ultimately be shaped by him and then respond to what he was putting out in terms of advertising policy and all the things he did over the years. Edward L. Bernays, B-E-R-N-A-Y-S, is an incredible man, lived into his 90s. David, what you're saying makes perfect sense, and yet we seem to function on some level as an organized unit on this planet, as a species, even though it is more and more presenting to me as a failed species. But here in the States, especially, and you've been here recently, the mind manipulation, the filter modification, the programming of the human brain and its receptors has never been carried out at a more intense and malicious and diabolical level.
I'm reminded of a quote by Oscar Wilde, which I put in the book, which he said, most people are other people. Their thoughts are someone else's opinions. Their lives are mimicry. Their passions are quotation. And a friend of mine has this phrase about many people. He calls them repeaters. And when you observe the world from that perspective, you see that it is not only peopled by enormous numbers of repeaters, it's actually administered by repeaters. You have doctors who are just repeating what they've been told in the medical profession and in their training. You have right. teachers in schools who are just right. repeating what they have been told, and they pass it on to pupils who then repeat it. It's creating an accepted norm reality, and it's once we've got that, then we all start decoding reality in basically the same way, and we become the sheep-like people that we have become. And when, therefore, someone stands up and goes beyond the program, because the body, it's very clear, is a computer program, a very sophisticated version of a computer program. And funnily enough, just as the book was finished and it went off to the designer to be put together in pages and stuff like that, I came across an article about Russian scientists who'd got together with geneticists and linguists and people of other disciplines to try to understand what this 90 to 97%, depending on who you talk to, of DNA is, what it does, that science has called junk DNA. Anyone who's not come across this, you know, I sit down, just take a breath. We get the impression, and that's this preconceived idea, this manipulation of the preconceived idea is fundamental to global manipulation, because the preconceived idea then edits reality to fit.